judgments are great to save us, his people. So thank you for coming and being with us today. I want you to know in the bulletin, and they keep falling out because people aren't aware they're in there, there's these announcements about Whataburger, but if you go there in the evening, you got to go during the evening, but if you go in the evening on Thursday and tell them that you're there for the preschool, they share proceeds that night with the preschool. We call that a spirit night, so we'd love it if you want to go there. It's one of our several spirit nights. This time it's at Whataburger. Feel free to go get a hamburger that evening. Also, if you'll notice in the bulletin, there's several committee announcements. If you're on one of those, just make sure that you mark your calendar. But again, glad you're here. Will you turn to those sitting far away from you? Welcome them with the peace of Jesus Christ. You all. Join me, please, in the call to worship. We look for help. Our help will come from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. May our lives be healed and strengthened for service. Amen. And let us pray. Blessed are you, God of compassion and mercy. To you be praise and glory forever and ever. For in the darkness of our sin, your light breaks forth like the dawn, and your healing springs up for deliverance. And so as we rejoice in the gift of your saving help, sustain us with your bountiful spirit and open our lips to sing your praise. Reveal to us the wonders of your good and great love, and make known to us through your word your presence this day. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let's sing our first hymn of praise. It's hymn number 82, O Lamb of God, Most Holy. Stand if you're able, and let's sing.
Oh, The Lenten season reminds us that when we were lost, Christ entered into our wilderness of sin in order to find and forgive us. Let our prayer of confession be a reminder of our need to depend daily on God's good grace as we allow the Holy Spirit to equip us for ministry. Let us open our hearts to God's redeeming power as we pray together our prayer of confession found in your bulletin. Please join in the prayer of confession. God of salvation, you shower our lives and our world with love, yet we turn away from your blessing. Too often we complain when we should trust you. The annoyances of each day pile up into a mountainous burden that becomes a curse on our lives. We doubt too often that good and great you can do. Free us from unwise choices, O God. When we are distracted and confused, redirect our attention to the abundant opportunities to experience your love. During our Lenten journey, focus our hearts and hopes on you, that we may choose the blessing of salvation offered each day through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
What seems to be the simple but wondrous and profound reality is that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have life everlasting. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven. And let's celebrate this love that brings us forgiveness and renewal as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Pointed to it often, but you know, this sitting down and then standing up, the sitting down and the standing up is for good reason. I just told you about John 3:16, and that was God saying, if you believe in me, you're saved. And our response to God's revelation that we're saved in love was to spring to our feet and sing the Gloria Patri. You see, the standing up and responding to what God is telling us when we hear the good news is just simply a response of faith that says, gosh, God, you are so good and so wondrous. I want to give myself to you. And that's what this moment is right now. It's not just passing around a plate that you put money into. It's a time to think about how we offer ourselves to this God that is so abundantly good. Are we offering our time, our talents, and yes, if so, our resources? So think on God's goodness to you, and if you are glad, respond with the offering of yourself and your gifts, knowing that God loves a cheerful giver.
Let us pray. God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide for our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts and open hands. Amen.
Unless one of our young ones want to come up here. Lexi, you know how we played with those fun gizmos last week. Well, we're going to do that again. So, but y'all can have a seat first before we play. And y'all can help me understand it. Y'all can help them understand it. But it says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Now, when we're in Christ, did you catch what two things happen? There you go. Old things gone. Your old life, man, it's gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You have a brand new life when you are in Christ. It's a new life where you're free to walk with Jesus any and every day that you wish. Because he's going to stay by your side to shepherd you, to guide you, lead you, to empower your life with his good, great love. Now, I want to talk to you about being in Christ, because that's pretty good news. That when we're in him, our old life is gone and our new life has begun. But I want to show you something right here to try and hopefully illustrate that. You see these? Y'all see those? They look kind of like propellers. I mean, you've got the wings or the propellers right there. These are designed to fly. These are made to float in the air. Okay, so I want to show you what happens when I throw this. If it comes your way, if you're bold, just catch it or duck and cover. It's your choice. Okay, you'll go get it. Okay, good. Here we go. That flew kind of. It did all right. Here, Lexi, why don't you throw it? Throw it my direction. See what happens. Okay, went a little ways. All right. That's how it flies when we throw it. When we're in charge and we're in control, that's what it does. It'll go a little ways. But I need two volunteers. Yeah, you know how these work. All right. Do you know how these work? Oh, y'all have these, okay. All right, here's yours. Now, when you pull the trigger, not yet. When you pull the trigger, it'll spin and spin, and when you let go of the trigger, it's going to fly, because that's what these were made to do, all right? Now, here's what I want you to think about. Here's your life. It's designed to soar high above. You saw how well it flew when I was in charge and threw it, or when she was in charge and threw it. Now, I want y'all on the count of three. Who wants to do it? All right. Y'all can point them any direction you want to. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Okay. That's our life. And let's pretend the gizmo is Christ. You've put your life in Christ. Let's see what happens when your life is in Christ and when you let go. Now, I'm going to count to three. And any time after three, you can let go of the trigger. You can start pulling the trigger in at one. But by the time I get to three, you let go of the trigger, okay? One, two, three. Wow. Whoa. You want to do it? You want to do it? Y'all give it to him. We got more. We got more. Let him do it, Michael. Share with your brother. Okay? Huh? You can go get that one. That's fine. Yeah, you want to do it again? Oh, you've already reloaded. Your life in Christ. Okay? When you're ready, pull in the trigger. And when you're ready to let go, let go. One, two, three. Wow. Oh, yeah, right there. Okay, gosh, that was cool. Pull in the trigger. Let go. There we go. Okay, pretty cool, huh? All right, now let me ask y'all. Yeah, y'all want to keep playing, don't you? Now, which was better, when I threw it or when I put my life in Christ and let go? Yeah, that's pretty neat. Well, I'm going to get the last fun here. Ready? Okay, I'm in Christ and I'm going to let go. All right, good deal. All right, y'all. We can fly better when our life is in Christ, right? Where would you rather your life be if you were that round disc? In your own hands or in Christ? All right, let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God. Thank you that you designed us, O Lord, for your good and great purposes. Thank you that by the presence of your Holy Spirit, you enable them to soar high on that plane of faith. I just pray that these children and us would want to have our lives in you, that we would let go of control and let you send us forth in faith to live as you have purposed. Be with them, O Lord. Show them your greatness and goodness, and be with us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, y'all. Appreciate it. Y'all give them a round of applause. Our next hymn, 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Grab your hymnals. Stand if you're able, and let's sing hymn 379.
Rise.
In our Genesis reading this morning, God makes a remarkable promise to Abraham. Despite the seemingly impossibility of the promise, Abraham believes God. Abraham is credited by God as righteous due to his trust and belief in the one making the promise. May we also trust in the promises of God as we hear these words. I will read from Genesis 15, 1 through 6, if you wish to follow along in your pew Bible. It's found on page 12. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born to my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Debbie. You know, last week we were in Romans, and the idea was to look at what God has done for us. And when we recognize that, it hopefully becomes very attractive and appealing to trust the Lord. But one of the challenges to trust is giving up control. I don't know about you, but I love being in control. Yeah, I feel more safe or comfortable usually sometimes, well, maybe, when I'm in control. But why Abraham is mentioned is God was calling him to this new land so that he could become a great nation. And so trusting God meant, rather than stay here where I've been making a life for myself, I'm going to leave that old life behind, and I'm going to give control up to God. Because you see, I don't know the way to this new land. I don't have GPS. So God, am I going in the direction you would have me go? And that's giving God the control to lead him to that land where he and his wife, who had never had any children before, are obviously going to have a bunch. That's what we call faith. And so we're going to look at that in Romans chapter 4 this morning. So if you want to turn there with me, I'm going to read just the first 12 verses of Romans chapter 4. Hear now the word of God. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to the one who without works trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. So also David speaks of the blessedness of those to whom God reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Is this blessedness then pronounced only on the circumcised or also on the uncircumcised? We say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it reckoned to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? Was it not after, but before he was circumcised? He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the ancestor of all who believe without being circumcised and who have thus righteousness reckoned to them. And likewise, the ancestor of the circumcised who are not only circumcised but also follow the example of the faith that our ancestor Abraham had before he was circumcised. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, God promised Abraham that he would have as many descendants as there were stars in the sky. Right. At least that would be me and my thinking if I were Abraham. Are you kidding me? You see, he and his wife, if you remember the story, were way past childbearing age, and they weren't able to have children when they were young enough to do so. And now, of all things, when it seems like the timing has long, long passed, God's promising descendants as numerous as stars in the sky. Pretty much impossible promise, if you ask me. But Abraham believed. Abraham trusted the promise, but he trusted the promise not because it was a promise, and not because it was a dream come true and then some. It was because Abraham recognized the one making the promise. That's what made the difference. You see, it wasn't a priest, it wasn't a preacher, it wasn't a president or a politician. The one that he recognized as making the promise was God. The Creator who could create and recreate was making the promise, so Abraham believed. The one making the promise was the God that gave him life and a purpose to fulfill here on earth. And so Abraham said, okay, I believe, I trust, I'm going to let you be in control, because he recognized the one making this incredible promise is the one that can do the impossible. What's interesting or great about all this, God is freely choosing to bind himself, to obligate himself to Abraham by making the promise. By making the promise to Abraham, God has now created a responsibility for himself. If I don't fulfill the promise, guess what? My word's not trustworthy. Now that I've made this promise to Abraham, if I don't fulfill it, you're not going to be able to rely on what I say. If God doesn't now begin to fulfill what he just promised, then we should not place our trust and faith in him. For God's word to be reliable and trustworthy, he now has to fulfill it. His reputation, he freely and willfully puts on the line. As he says to Abraham, for you, your wife, your family, I'm going to do something incredible. I think bankers understand the kind of principle involved here, this idea of trust and reliability. You see, if they're going to lend a large sum of money to someone that promises to pay it back with a little bit of interest, the banker may say, you know, I also, though, however, wish to take as collateral one of your assets in case your promise to pay doesn't quite come about. You know, the person may want to pay the bank, but become, for whatever reason, unable to do so. And so the banker has this thing that they call collateral. And that guarantees that the promise will be fulfilled. Now, when God makes a promise, the guarantee is God's ability to remain faithful, whether we are or not. It is God's power to fulfill whether we keep our end of the bargain or not. And the Bible is the story of God's love proving over and over again that it will remain trustworthy and reliable to do the very thing it promised. Like in marriage, it's two couples that make vows, but the Bible is the story of God always, no matter what the threat, what the challenge, what the problem, keeping the vow. So here we have Abraham with a promise that is seemingly impossible to fulfill. And yet he trusts it. He trusts it because the one promising is the one who made the universe. And if God can make a universe and put stars in the sky that are too numerous to count and sustain it with all its dynamics, then God can probably create numerous descendants as well. So Abraham, when he recognized who it was that was making the promise, he shoots for the stars by trusting God's word. With that idea in mind, I really do hope and pray. Yeah, I got a bias being a minister about this. But I hope you read your Bible at home and not just at church. Because you see, God is making some outlandish promises to you. He's doing that in his word. But it will become a lot easier to believe when you begin to hear and recognize that these words are the word of God and not just anyone else. And it becomes much easier to turn from yourself when you realize who it is that has promised all this wonderful, incredible, challenging, growing, fruitful things for your life and its future. So Abraham, he chose to trust God rather than be in control of his own life. That's what we call faith. It's allowing God to run the show. You know, Abraham was old. He wasn't real, just old. He was real old. He was older than dirt old. So he was way past childbearing. So think about this. If Abraham relied on himself and his own abilities to fulfill this great promise, it would have failed. With Abraham being so old and his wife unfortunately barren, there was no hope whatsoever that this promise, this dream, could ever be gained on their own. On their own, no way, no how, it's not happening, and they even knew that from their own personal experience. But I love how God directed Abraham's attention to the countless stars of space, and God did that for a reason. And maybe we should remember this next time we look at a star-filled sky. There, staring up at the stars that filled the night sky, Abraham realized that to a God who could create 100 million universes, nothing is impossible. Had Abraham stayed there looking at his own dead body and what he could accomplish by himself on his own in the condition and situation that he was in, Abraham would have found this promise most difficult to believe. As a matter of fact, it probably would have been written off as impossible. But in looking up to witness what the Creator of the universe could do in him and through him, Abraham found faith in the Creator who was making the promise, as grand as it may have been. We come to worship each week, and hopefully we do it not because we're supposed to or we have to, but because we get to. For each week, God welcomes us and God invites us to look up, to look past ourselves and what we can do on our own, and to gaze upon what grace promises and grace accomplishes. So often in worship, God calls us to look up to places like Calvary, to where we see what the Lord did for us there, to see Jesus give his righteousness for our sin, to look up and see that at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, to look up and see Jesus bring life out of death, to look up and see Jesus bring peace to a world in rebellion, to look up and see Jesus take our punishment and offer us, of all things, forgiveness. To see love die for us when we were being so hateful. To create a way to paradise for those who had lost their way. We're called to look at Abraham, who is very old, and his wife Sarah, who could have no children, and witness God bring life where none existed, and see God create new beginnings when no new way seemed humanly or remotely possible. Each week we come and we look up from a world whose waves toss us up and down and then to and fro, sometimes gently and unfortunately, sometimes quite violently. And from that, God invites us to revel, to realize, to relish, to look up beyond ourselves and see how amazing God's grace can truly be. I hope we would actually be more like the thief on the cross who realized it was best to turn away from himself, who was in the wrong, and turn to Jesus, who was in the right. I hope we can be like our father Abraham and know life can change far, far more than we could ever hope or imagine when we accept God's invitation and welcome to look up and witness what God's grace can do. You see, God was for Abraham and Sarah. God was even for the thief on the cross. And God is for us, not against us. And we know that. We believe that because we have seen, especially in the gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, how truly amazing grace can be. Do y'all remember Noah? God told him it was going to flood. And so, trusting God's word, Noah set about building an ark. God made this impossible promise to Abraham that he would become a great nation. And so, with his wife, he left that old way of life behind and he headed toward a new land which he had never seen before. Moses was an exiled shepherd. But when God spoke to him to go and deliver God's word to Pharaoh, Moses trusted the Lord, and off to Egypt he went. You know, if you think about Jonah, it was slow going, this trust business at first. He had to be thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale to kind of learn, you know, the lesson of it all. I would imagine by the time that the whale regurgitated him on the beach, he was more willing to say, "Okay, God, I'll do whatever you say." But the point is, he finally gave control to God. He went to Nineveh and preached, and the people did what he never believed they would do. They repented by turning to the Lord. God, as he told the pagan priest to pour water all over these logs. And when Elijah prayed, God made those logs catch fire. And then there was this fellow named Jesus. God promised Jesus the impossible, that on the third day God would raise him from the dead. So step by step, Jesus went up that hill of Calvary knowing God, my Father, is going to do the very thing he promised on the third day. Jesus let go of his life as he went up the hill of Calvary. And he let God have the power to do what God promised. Have you ever imagined how exciting and thrilled Jesus was on the third day when he rose? "I knew I could trust you, Dad. Thank you, Father." And he went out into the world. And if that weren't the end of the story, 12 very ordinary men with a very extraordinary God started a church that spread throughout the entire world. People called Christians starting telling the world what they believed, even when they were being thrown to the lions. And there in that setting, the gospel still continued to flourish. God has plans and promises for you. So during this season of Lent, just ask, who am I going to trust? Amen. Because we've heard God's word and we're going to respond to it as a people of faith, I encourage you to stand and let us together announce what we believe, not only giving witness to it here in worship, but may it be a reminder that that's what we're to do out into the world. Let's use the words of the Apostles' Creed that's printed there in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And because we do have God's welcome, let's go into his presence and pray to him at this time. I do ask that you keep all the people listed on the prayer list there in your daily prayers. Debbie Haas's sister yesterday was transferred to a Dallas hospital. She needed some transfusions and monitoring, so keep her in your prayers. We continue to pray for our nursery worker, Ms. Sheila, as she recovers from her fall, and all the many prayers that are out there. But we also have some joys. Next week we'll have roses on the table because Ted and Becky Slemons became grandparents. Stephanie had her baby on Tuesday. And then Stephen and Emily Corbett brought in a new baby boy into the world. And so Barbara has now once again become a grandmother. And so I know they are just thrilled to death. Let's pray for the people who travel over spring break. Let's remember to pray for our world and for our country. And most of all, not only our church, but all churches, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be known. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you tell us not to be afraid of what the future holds. You tell us not to worry about tomorrow. But you also know how difficult we find it to heed your words. For we do worry about so many things. Our families, our friends, our circumstances. Some worries are big worries. Many of our worries are just tiny annoyances. But oh, how they can add up. We come before you this day with these big and tiny worries. But it is with confidence that we know we can lay them at your feet and once again allow you to shepherd our lives. So we bring our big worries about health and happiness and security for ourselves and for our loved ones. We bring big worries about the world we live in and its future existence as we continue to fail to address so many problems of shared resource and relationship with neighbor and nations. We bring worries about the way people in our world are treated as less than human. People that are exploited, helpless, and abused. But Father, we know that you're concerned with every aspect of our lives, and so we bring those little things that concern us and the worries that keep us awake at night. And we ask, O living God, who is present with us right now, to reach out to all those for whom the future brings fears and uncertainties. Assure them that you are with them, even if the future seems dark and circumstances feel like they're spinning out of control. Remind them and us that you are able to transform even the bleakest of situations and bring about healing and wholeness. And we know that because we've witnessed the death and the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're glad that our faith tells us you knew us before we took our first breath. You uttered your living word and you brought forth light, love, and life. You gathered us from the dust of the earth and called us your people. You sent us into the world to proclaim your mighty and wondrous deeds. And it's amazing to think you're with us even now as we continue our call. So we ask, O Lord, that in your righteousness you would deliver us and set us free. For mighty God, you have done great things, and there is none like you. You alone are our rock and our fortress. You alone are our strong fortress. You alone are our hope, and in you alone do we trust. So, O Lord, deliver us and set us free. We make these prayers in faith, and we do so knowing your Spirit is at work in our world, making all things new according to your will. May that continue in us and through us, and if necessary, in spite of us, as we come to you praying the way Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because it's Lent, we've chosen our closing going out hymn as I've decided to follow Jesus, and today we'll sing verse 3. The words are printed in your bulletin, so you can find it there toward the back of your bulletin. But let us stand and sing verse 3 as a statement of faith of I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's stand and do that together. Go into your week. As you leave this place, lift up your eyes to the Lord, the one who sent Jesus Christ as salvation for all the world will never desert you. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Go now in peace with God's blessing as you rejoice in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is with you now and always. Amen.